Now we are on part 10, the resurrection. I'm interested in analyzing exactly what the resurrection involves. And then we'll say some things about the glorified body as well. It's not a long section, so, and since we have said quite a lot, we may not all take all that long. Now let's discuss the resurrection. I must begin by saying, first of all, I don't really need that section of the board, so I can erase all that. We have to begin by asking ourselves this one question. By what means does man know? And the answer is, he knows by means of the Spirit. He has a mind, and mind is of the Spirit. And what does man need in order to exist? He needs a body. So we have the Spirit, the body and the Spirit. Now, where is the body? The body is in matter. And where is the Spirit? A Spirit is, we said, is not anywhere. Or, if you like, it's where it's always been. So, in death, we have the separation of the body and the Spirit. So, in the resurrection, somehow we need to bring together body and Spirit. Otherwise, there'll be no resurrection. The word resurrection suggests that. So let me just put it down. So we have the body we need for body for existence, and we need a spirit for knowledge. And when we separate those things, then death occurs. And the resurrection brings them together. Brings body plus spirit. But now that we need to ask a question here regarding the body. When a person is dead, where is the body? The body is in matter. And without, if we have only the body, then the man will not know anything. If we have only the spirit, then there is no man at all. So without the two, we are not doing anything. But there are questions here to be asked. When we say, is it the same spirit? When we sort of reunite them together again, we have to ask, is it the same body, or is it the same, and is it the same spirit? Or is it just any body and any spirit? Well, let's ask the question about the spirit. Is it the same spirit? Now, this is the question that has been asked and is asked all the time. Is this same, is he my spirit? Is it the same spirit? Now, I write on the board because it will take time for the truth to sink in that there aren't two spirits, there aren't three spirits, there aren't many spirits. There is, in this kind of discussion, we're discussing God's spirit now, we're not discussing angels. God's spirit is one. God is one being. There aren't. So what is the meaning of the word same? Same is, so the question, is it the same spirit? Well, if you suggest that there are, as a possibility, it might be something else, the question is meaningless. Right, it's a meaningless question. There is one spirit. So when I say the spirit in man, really I'm speaking about God's spirit, the animating principle, the thing that makes bodies alive. And then, but in the case of man, since God willed that man would be in his own image, the spirit in man makes him not only alive, but also makes him in the image of God. Right. So the word same is not a good word to use. So we now need to ask another question. Is it the same body? Well, that's a better question. Because obviously we have many bodies. But that we need to clarify it a little bit. Do you mean, are these the self-same molecules which came from this cucumber or from that piece of bread that I ate in 1969, right? Well, if that's what you mean, well, that's impossible. Because, horrible though it may sound, we are other people too. In other words, the cucumber we eat today may contain molecules which our forefathers left behind. Now, that's why I say I don't like that, because it gives the impression of cannibalism. But it's not that. It's the molecules we're discussing, not the person that we're eating. So, I am saying that human beings, somewhere along the line, must be sharing the molecules, must be sharing the matter. And in any case, today we are living in a world of heart transplants, liver transplants, and all sorts of bodies are taken from other people, and all sorts of parts or organs, rather, are taken from other people and prepared to be transferred to others. So what happens in the resurrection? Whose heart is it going to be? Is mine? That's yours. We're going to start fighting. So what we really mean here is, so it is impossible to say, is it the same body? So the same body here. Well, they were same in this context means one that will do the same job. What you say, what job is that? Well, obviously I need my identity. We're going to have so it means any molecules that will make up the very body in which I will be recognizable. So it will look, I will look like myself. If that's what we mean, then I have no problem. I must have my identity. And we also said that if we join body and spirit, then we can get soul. That would come, so in the resurrection, we're going to have bodies, we're going to have the spirit, we're going to have a soul. But the soul, I said, now let me clarify the soul, because I don't want to have anybody misunderstand me on that point. Mr. Armstrong was right in saying that man does not have a soul. But by that he meant there is no fluffy substance inside man which when he dies leaves his mouth and sort of ascends like a sort of very light white substance or smoke or vapor. Nothing like that. That is not the case. But if you turn to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28... Christ says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." So here they are able to kill the body, but not. They cannot touch the soul. Why not? Well, because it's not given to them. They cannot touch it. Where will they find it? They cannot find it. They can kill your body. But who you are and what you are, that's not, is not lost. Now, some people think, now, where is it recorded then? I have people ask me that. They say, where is the record kept of who I am and what I am and what I have done? What is the meaning of where? Where is it kept? As if God needs to have a soul library, and sort of takes each one as they come in and sort of carefully labels it, so we don't have any mix-ups later on. That is reducing God to the finite world, and that should not be done. God does not need a system of a filing system. You and I need it because we are finite beings, because we have memories. And our memories are short and let us down because we have anger and we tend to forget things, because we have impatience and who knows what else we have. So God does not need anything like that. So then, let me finish reading that verse 28. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Well, notice he didn't say anything about spirit. Why not? Well, because this is the spirit that we are talking about. That is God. This is God. What do you mean, kill the spirit? So, God, in other words, can erase the complete man. This man here rests on God's will. The whole of man rests on God's will. His very existence, his sentiments, everything he stands for. If God wills to remove this foundation, that's it. There is nothing. Absolutely nothing. Here, similarly, in the lake of fire, he can destroy the body and he can put an end to the soul, and who you are will just disappear. There is nothing. Nothing of you left. So the church was right in teaching, in that teaching. And there is no change to come on that. Similarly, since we are on this destruction of the soul and the body, let me ask, can God destroy an angel? We have given that answer a few times already. Let me say it again. The proper answer is no, he cannot. Because to destroy an angel means to pull him apart. Destroy is to deconstruct. That's what the word means. And angels do not have parts. But if God withholds his power, there will be no angel to be destroyed. And I have a question here. Is that how God will make the spirit in man cease to exist? No, because God's spirit in man is God's breath that activates man, that brings him alive. So that is not what's going to happen. The spirit does not die. The spirit returns to God. Notice the words, the spirit returns to God. That's a figure of speech. Returns? What do you mean returns? It doesn't go anywhere. Return is a spatial term. It's perfectly all right in the context of a sermon. But now, having discussed this, I'll use that in a minute, but having discussed this, I can erase this part. I can erase this part here. Let me write it clearly. So let's write up here. We had a body. The body came back now. Plus the spirit came back. And then we have a soul. So this man is alive again. Is that the resurrection? The answer is yes, it's a resurrection. What is needed next? Well, this man needs food. Why does he need food? Because he's going to die if he doesn't eat. He needs to sleep. He is a human being, like you and me. That's what he is. So, that man is mortal. Mortal. He can die. Because if you can put the body together, the things can separate again. He has parts. His name, I'll tell you his name. His name is Lazarus. And he just walked out of the grave. Christ says, Lazarus, come out here. And Lazarus came out. Now, what does Lazarus need? He needs food. He needs clothes. He needs to wash and clean himself. But he cannot ascend, because his body is earthy. Is he immortal? No. What would it take? Now, for eternal life, now here is the point we want to do. So this is, he is mortal. He is spatial, etc. For immortality, one needs to depart from that. We need to depart from that. Because if somebody is going to be like Christ, for example, he has to be able to walk through walls. He has to be able to ascend. And Paul says, then we shall rise in the air and meet the Lord in the air. Well, how are we going to do that? Lazarus cannot fly. So we shall rise in the cloud. We shall see him as he is. And Christ says, I shall not eat of this or drink of this fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God. And yet, after the resurrection, he ate fish with his disciples. Now, the answer to that, we all know, is in the glorified body. He had a glorified body. Now, that means this body here, this person, this is an... So I should put here, has been glorified. I can erase it from here and say, now he is immortal. He is non-spatial. Now, I'll explain what that means now. But it is... Let me erase that for the moment and say he is immortal. Let's discuss it first of all. See, when we read about Christ, we know that he can manifest himself in space. But he is not limited in space. He can eat fish. Christ can be, is Christ with us in the church today in Pasadena? The answer is yes, he is. Is he with his church in Australia? The answer is yes, he is. Is he with his church in London? The answer is yes, he is. He is everywhere. So if Christ is everywhere, he is not only immortal, but he is not spatial. Now notice that what is happening here, let me erase these words from this side. He is not spatial. Now if I had to put the glorified body on that spatial, on the spatial pattern that we drove on the on this model, then let's put it in a different kind of chalk. Here it is. There it is. Now we have to remove this one. Maybe I should put it back where it was. Ah, I can't erase it now, because this chalk does not erase. That's good, because it's not spatial anymore. So let me put it again. See, this is the glorified body. It only changed color, shall we say. Now, if this is made of glass, it's made of a different color glass. Right? It's made of pink glass here. So you can look through that. You still see the Father. You still see the Son, and you still see the Holy Spirit. The same identity as before. However, it is of a different... It is the body... Now, here it is. The body of the resurrection. Glorified. Now you may say to me, explain the word glorified. I wish I could. I don't know enough. There are some things I cannot explain. The word glory, there is nothing on the face of the earth that I can point to which would be even remotely similar to glory. I can say, look at the sunset maybe. I could say, get up early in the morning and see the sun rising, and you will see the glory of the sun before the sun comes into the sky. It's sort of a red appearance in the sky. You say, oh, that's glory there. That's the glory of the sun. Or at sunset. Maybe that's a good example. But these are weak examples. We haven't got a clue. We haven't seen. Eye has not seen, and ear has not heard what God has in store for his people. So then this is a glorified body. You say to me, how can a body exist both here and in Australia, still be a body and not be spatial? Well, that must be the meaning of the word glorified. This is what I mean by glorified. Now, I cannot explain that before beyond that. So I know that a glorified body can manifest itself in space, but is not limited in space. So Christ can be here and in Australia at the same time. But now also look at Hebrews chapter 2. And verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. But the point I'm bringing out is that he is bringing many sons unto glory. You and I, right, will become like that. We shall be pink, right, with happiness and joy, right, and so on. But of course, let me put, I think originally my model here is not very good. Because I don't, if I want to put human beings, I don't want to put them inside there. Maybe I should put them outside. Maybe I'll call that, if I call it the universe, I have to put them inside. See? I have to put them inside there. I don't mind doing that. Maybe I should put it, should call that God. But Christ was in space, so why can't we be in space? So let's put ourselves in there too. So let's put, it has to be in the same color. So now these are other people who are being glorified. What is the difference between us and them? Well, the difference is, he is the, you look through here and you find the hypostasis of God. You look through this one and you don't. Through this one, you don't see a hypostasis of God. You see a human being glorified. Human being glorified. But then he says, we shall be like him. Well, yes, we shall be like him means we're not going to be him. He is the hypostasis of God. He is forever the Son of God. We are not going to be him. We're going to be like him. We are like him. Yes, look at that. It's the same. So, sort of same color, the same, it's pink on there. But we bring with us this humanity. We have a beginning. We have a beginning. We begin. And there will be a distinction. We shall never be, in other words, Christ will be the first. He has priority. He is the Son of God. But in the scriptures we will find that he also refers to as a man. And we have all this. We are man, we do not have that. Except in a figurative sense, of course. Look at Revelation, chapter 21, and verse 3. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. This is, by the way, this is in New Jerusalem. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, prepared. And I heard a great voice saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. But it doesn't say with spirit beings, it says with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. By the way, I said not spirit beings, because I want to avoid this mistake of thinking that there are beings composed of spirit. Now, I do not quibble about the verse. If somebody uses spirit being, I will not quibble about it. Provided he doesn't tell me that there is a spirit substance. Right? That's what I want to avoid. Nobody's ever allowed to say there is a spirit substance. Now, I want to say he's glorified. But if you say to me, explain that, I will say, no, I won't. Because there are certain things that none of us is really qualified to explain. To explain means to make it so plain, right, that anybody can see. And I haven't got the means of doing that. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. and verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. The man? Well, yes, because right now Christ is glorified, but he is a man. So he has this body of the resurrection. He took the body with him. We are going to be like him. So he is the man. How else would you explain this scripture? There is one God and one mediator between God and man. See, he is the mediator after the resurrection. The man, Christ Jesus. I think in the past people read that rather loosely and very quickly. Now, the objection that has been raised to this kind of presentation is 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 44. Now, it will take me about 5 minutes or so, but we may not have enough tape for that. We do? What if we don't have it? Yeah. By the way, let me try that. So, the question that arises there is, if we look at 1 Corinthians 15, let's read that one. And verse 44. It is sown in a natural body. It is raised in a spiritual body. It's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And that's the question, because the people ask this question, the people who ask this question, are under the impression that this passage is speaking about bodies which are made of matter and bodies which are made of spirit. And I want to correct that impression, because it is not correct, it is not right. That is the mistake that is being made. And at least in one case somebody explained it this way, that see, if there's in verse, where is it? Here it is, in verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. And somebody said that sown means when we're buried. No, it does not mean that. It is sown in corruption, because it comes after the word dead. People think that it means is the burial. It is sown in corruption. When you bury it, in other words, you bury it corrupt. And it is raised in incorruption. That's not what he's talking about. So we need to clarify this whole passage now, because of this pervading false premise. Now let's look at verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And the word that we want to emphasize here is the word from. The first man is earthy, means the first man is provided, has a body that is provided from the earth. It's from. The second man is the Lord who is from heaven. So the difference then is one of glory. This man here is from the earth. This man here is from heaven. He is glorified. He has a glorified body. He has a heavenly body, not a body that is from the earth. But the word body and the word body in that case is a way of speaking, is a way of saying glorified. So the key term is glorified. We must not think of that the body goes up, goes to heaven with atoms and things like that, with parts. So look at verse 43. When he says it is sown in dishonor, it means when we are born as human beings, we are born in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown, again, means in this life. Let's go back to verse 40. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. Now, that does not mean heavenly bodies. Well, it does, but it depends what you mean by heavenly. He explains that. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. And he explains that. There is one glory of the sun. So this is what he means by celestial bodies. Means the sun, the moon, and the stars. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. And of course here the word glory means beauty. For one star differs from another in glory. And then he says, so is the resurrection from the dead. From the dead, yes. And also in verse 36, read, thou fool, that which you sow is not quickened except it die. Right, so then here is, let me just draw a pattern here. You get, we are told that here is a seed, and it's something is sown here, and then it is raised like that. So let's say this plant comes up from the seed, and he is saying there is some connection between what is sown here and what is springing up here. This one dies, but this one is the life of that one. So this is the result of this one. So there is some kind of continuation. There is an identity. The identity exists. Similarly, when a human being is earthy, he lives his life on the earth in this little square. When he is glorified, there is a similarity. So the identity exists. But you must not. But he is not trying to press the matter. Now, let me just say one more thing. In verse 44, that's the key to the whole thing. It is sown a natural beauty body. The word natural here is psychic. It's a psychic body. That means when God breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life, man became a psyche, a living soul. Right? But it's written, raised a spiritual body. The word is pneumatic. So, that means this word, spiritual, means from heaven. It does not mean spirit, body. The expression, spirit, body, is a contradiction of terms. So the first Adam is psychic, is of the natural order. The second man is of a different nature, is heavenly. And so is the resurrection. Now, we can stop here. Having said that, and when we come back, I can say a few more things regarding it before we go on.